Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org under Public Affairs. Today is April 22nd, 2020. The markets continue to be up and down. This is a recorded segment of our show, so I don't have specific numbers for today. Continue to watch for those. Our topic tonight is the CARES Act, and specifically to sole proprietors, self-employed people, business owners, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I want to continue to thank all the people who are out there in our community, those people whose jobs are helping our communities with food distribution, health care, financial support, human services, home maintenance, government action, and all those businesses who continue to support their employees with working from home. We couldn't do it without all of you, so thank you very much. It is also our spring pledge drive, and anything you can continue to do to support WDIY, we sincerely appreciate. Airing programs and news information to our listeners does not stop. With that, we need continued financial support. There are a number of ways to give, but the easiest is going directly to WDIY.org and click the Donate Now button. You can also call 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And as regular listeners know, I also like to put out a challenge, and I'm going to put out a blanket challenge tonight as well. I will contribute $250 and hope that there are listeners out there who will call in or click that Donate Now button at WDIY.org to show your sign of support. We would like to get at least three or four people to call in or go to the website WDIY.org to do a pledge this evening. So thank you very much for that. Tonight I am going to continue my discussion on the CARES Act, again, particularly how it impacts small businesses and sole proprietors. Big news on that, which I will cover later in the show, is that the Paycheck Protection Program and the Economic Injury Disaster Loan and Grant Program, that's typically referred to as the PPP or the EIDL program, those have been tapped out as of now. Additional funding should be coming, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the program. In addition, the Pennsylvania Unemployment website for self-employed people is now open. When this pandemic first started and the Stimulus Act came out, the CARES Act was first promoted. It was talking about supporting self-employed people with unemployment benefits, which typically had not been available to self-employed people. What was not readily known at the time was that Pennsylvania had to build its own website for that to be able to support unemployed sole proprietors because typically they don't qualify for unemployment benefits. So they had to build a separate website. That is now available. So I will also give more information about that as well as we move through the show. Before I do that, I would like to give an update on the stimulus payments. Last week, I mentioned that those were starting to come in for those who were eligible, and I've had some questions relating to those. Recall that the CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, covers many stimulus provisions for individuals, businesses, nonprofits, lenders, and municipalities. But one of those provisions was for this recovery rebate or economic income payment and what most of us have just started calling the stimulus payments. It's that $1,200 for single people or married filing separate and head of household folks, and $2,400 for married filing joint if you're within a certain income threshold. But what we have seen are questions of when is it coming, how do I get it, and how does the IRS know where to send that? So keep in mind for people who had a change in filing status or dependents, bank account information, or if you've moved, that you need to get that updated information either by filing a tax return or going on the IRS's website. There is a link, irs.gov, that you can go to update some of that information, or if you're a non-filer, meaning you don't file a tax return, but you still might be eligible for this payment. So that's available at irs.gov. So one of the questions I received through the website, Your Financial Choices, was relating to the stimulus payment. I am an adult that does not work, and I have not filed taxes. I live with my boyfriend and our daughter. Since we are not married, we do not file jointly. Rather, he claims me as a dependent. Will I qualify to receive the $1,200 stimulus? Well, the answer is no, and that's because if you're a dependent of someone, you do not qualify. So in this case, her boyfriend claims her as a dependent. So if you are a dependent, you do not qualify for that stimulus check. Now, she also mentioned that they have a daughter. So when he files, he would get his stimulus check, and he would get $500 for their daughter. Another question had come through. I got my tax refund from my 2019 tax return, but did not get my stimulus check. Everyone else is getting theirs. So they wanted to know, you know, where is my check? So my answer was, in this case, I knew this person was receiving Social Security, and I said, I understand that if you're a Social Security recipient, you should expect this payment into the same account you receive Social Security as a separate payment and perhaps by the end of April, but no later than early May. If you have dependent children, additional steps are required to qualify for the additional $500. So in that circumstance, if you have someone who is receiving Social Security but maybe have a dependent child, maybe you're a grandparent and you have custody of your grandchild, you would have to go on the IRS's website to update the information to get the extra $500. And again, that's at irs.gov, and you can follow the links or search in their search box for what to do if you are a Social Security recipient with a dependent child. I have more information to cover, but as we go through the show, we are going to talk about some of the provisions of the CARES Act and how it relates to self-employed and sole proprietor type people and what benefits are available to you. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Operations Director Neil Heaver. Healthcare workers around the nation are bravely battling the COVID-19 virus, and we all need to do our part to help. Many of the real voices you know at WDIY will be absent this spring as they heed the call to stay home and stay safe. Our staff and volunteers have faced challenges before, and I'm certain we'll get through this crisis. We'll continue to provide NPR news and a variety of music, and we will bring the many choices and real voices back as soon as possible. Our best wishes to you and your loved ones, and thank you for listening and supporting us at WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices this evening. This is a pre-recorded show. If you have questions, you're welcome to send them through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and I will do my best to respond to those either directly through email or on an upcoming show. So again, that is yourfinancialchoices.com, and know that you can listen to shows and podcasts of prior shows anytime at wdiy.org under Public Affairs. This evening we're talking about the CARES Act, some additional updates, a little bit more information on the CARES Act and how it applies to sole proprietors. But first, I had just wanted to cover a few items relating to some of the provisions of the CARES Act and how it relates to the stimulus payments that people are getting. One other item I wanted to add about the Social Security is that it is a separate payment for Social Security recipients than what you would normally get in your normal Social Security check. But I have seen that it says those payments for Social Security recipients probably won't get paid until the end of April. So that's a little bit different than where we've been hearing other people have been getting their payments. So again, it's going to be a separate payment, perhaps by the end of April, but no later than early May for people who are getting Social Security, whether you filed a tax return or not. And I had questioned that. I thought if someone was filing tax returns and were a Social Security recipient, would they automatically get the check based on their tax return? And it seems that if you're a Social Security recipient, you're in a different tranche than people who ordinarily file tax returns, even if you file as well. All right, so by the end of April, early May. I also wanted to mention that a listener had shared with me information relating to the student loan forbearance. So I had mentioned this last week that student loan payments were deferred through September 30th, 2020, and no interest would accrue. And that is a great benefit. It's like 6 months worth of no interest and no required payments, but that you would have to be proactive in reaching out to the loan provider to have that apply. Now, a listener shared with me a notification that they received from the Department of Education relating to Parent Plus loans, alerting them to this option. So I thought that was great. They're being proactive and not waiting for someone to reach out to them. But I don't know if all loan providers will do that. So if you are someone who has a student loan, you might want to reach out to the provider if you weren't already notified. Now, because the loan payments in this person's situation were set up for direct debit, what they were notified is that they would automatically be stopped for the deferment period. So Department of Ed was going to stop the direct debit, so they would, you know, not be required to make those through the end of September. But the question was, what if you want to continue to make the payments? So ordinarily, you know, for people who aren't notifying their provider, I'm not sure how they may be handling these payments going forward. So here is another reason why you want to check into this. Because if you have it set up for direct debit and they're just going to stop it, but you maybe are still working, you have the means to continue the payments, this is a great opportunity to get ahead on that student loan and to bring those future balances down much faster with a lot of savings on interest. So in this case, the listener was told they were not going to continue the direct debit. So in trying to investigate, well, what if I want to keep making payments, he kind of had to go through some hoops to find that information. So if you wanted to continue to make payments, he actually had to do it manually. I'm like, what does that mean these days? It means you actually mail a check in. So that information wasn't even readily available, and it took some digging to find out what that would mean and where do you make that payment. So we've become so used to doing direct debits, we don't realize that if we want to make a payment to this, you know, entity, that there is an address that you can actually mail a physical check to. So he got that information. He can make those payments. He's just going to mail those in. But in doing some calculations, he felt this was going to save quite a bit of money. So that is something that really, if you have the means to continue to make your payments on your student loans, it's a great way to get those balances down much quicker. So I really appreciate him sharing that information with us so that I could share it with all of you. So now let's talk a little bit about sole proprietors. Now, you heard me talking in the show. I get very caught up in the terms we use because I like just to say self-employed people. But in all the literature we're reading about the CARES Act and the support to businesses that is out there, you see all these terms, sole proprietor, self-employed, independent contractor, and I'm not exactly sure why someone differentiates it like that, but basically, in my mind, as a tax professional, a sole proprietor, a self-employed person, and an independent contractor are all people who are typically filing a Schedule C for their business income. Now, self-employed people may also include partners who are self-employed just with someone else in business with them. So partners may also be self-employed. I thought it was really important to talk about unemployment, particularly tonight, because this is not normally something that a self-employed person would qualify for. Because self-employed people do not pay into the unemployment compensation system, but because of these extreme circumstances and with financial support through the government for the CARES Act, they are making unemployment benefits available to self-employed people. Now, when this first was announced, what we did not know at that time was that self-employed people would actually have to go through different steps than employees. So it was a little bit confusing. We were letting our self-employed sole proprietors know you're going to qualify for unemployment or could qualify for unemployment. I'm going to go through some of the qualifications for that. That you could qualify for self-employment, but that it was going to be a different website. They had to build another website, so it took a little bit longer. So they were going onto the regular unemployment website and kind of hitting a wall, getting hiccups, getting notifications that, you know, perhaps they didn't qualify or their system couldn't manage it. So just over the weekend, I believe, I know it's available now, they have a special website, and for unemployment benefits for self-employed people, it's called Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. P as in Paul, U-A, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. And the website is pua.benefits.us.pa.gov. So if you just Google Pennsylvania unemployment self-employed, it's probably going to take you here. You just want to make sure that you get to the actual government website. Again, pua.benefits.us.pa.gov. And they have lots of information there. What happens, though, for someone who wanted to investigate what information you might need, I couldn't get any farther than the first page. So I've asked clients to keep me alerted as to what they find, and I had someone who went through it this morning and had already received a message of some of the benefit that he'll get. So I will talk about that in just a minute when we come back from this next break. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, I'm Ken Foster, one of the many real voices here at WDIY. We are all doing our best to deal with the health crisis that has interrupted our lives and challenged our healthcare professionals. We all want to return as soon as possible to bring you the many choices you have come to expect. The many partnerships we have with businesses, art groups, and other not-for-profits have been affected as well. Partners like ArtsQuest SteelStacks, Godfrey Daniels, Miller Symphony Hall, and the State Theater in Easton. All of us at WDIY look forward to the day we can bring back guests to talk about seasonal offerings and update our calendars with news about shows, concerts, and events around the Lehigh Valley. If you're able, please consider supporting WDIY during this fund drive period and help us stay strong so we can be here for you and our many partners. Visit WDIY.org and see the suggested support levels right there on our website. Or call 610-758-8810. Oh, and thank you, all of you, for supporting WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, right here on WDIY 88.1. We are in our spring pledge drive, and tonight we are talking about the CARES Act and some of the benefits to individuals through the stimulus payments, and in particular, the benefits for self-employed people. So I wanted to go into a little in depth about the unemployment benefits, because this is just so unusual to be available, but through the CARES Act, unemployment benefits are available for people who are self-employed when you ordinarily would not be eligible for it. I do want to put a little caveat on this, though, because we have to remember that there are some qualifications for this. It's not that everyone can just go apply. So they talk about who is covered. Now, let me read a little bit from that first page of the website, again on the PUA.benefits. Relief for workers affected by Coronavirus Act. Pandemic unemployment assistance provides payment to workers not traditionally eligible for unemployment benefits, who are unable to work as a direct result of the coronavirus public health emergency. So who is covered? Those diagnosed with COVID-19 or with symptoms and seeking diagnosis, member of households been diagnosed, providing care for someone who's been diagnosed, primary caregiver for a child unable to attend school or another facility closed to COVID-19, unable to reach your place of employment due to an imposed quarantine, scheduled to commence new employment and cannot reach workplace as a direct result of COVID-19 because you became a major breadwinner because the head of household died of COVID-19, quit your job as a result of COVID-19, place of employment closed as a direct result, and self-employed independent contractors, 1099 filers, farmers affected by COVID-19. There are some additional people that would be available. Who is not covered? Individuals that can telework with pay and individuals receiving paid sick leave or other paid leave benefits. So a lot of people can find something within those covered guidelines where they can say they would qualify. But in particular, we're talking about self-employed and independent contractors. Now, the state minimum benefit for unemployment is $195. And when I first was following this benefit, I had understood that self-employed people would be eligible for the state minimum of $195. And subsequently, I saw that they can expect to be eligible for at least half of this. So there might be a little caveat to that state minimum for self-employed people. If your income does not warrant even the $195 a week, then I could see where they may drop it to at least half of the state minimum. And I had not seen that before. So some of this information comes out, and we learn more and more as days go by. And it's a lot to try to keep up with. So make sure you're trying to do your own due diligence as well. Once you qualify for the PUA, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, here is the big item. The CARES Act then qualifies you for an additional $600 a week. And that benefit is for up to 4 months. So that is the big benefit that is going to help our self-employed small business owners who are affected by COVID-19 and their businesses affected by COVID-19. So again, the state minimum, $195. Self-employed people would be eligible for at least half of this. Once qualified, the CARES Act qualifies you for that additional $600 a week benefit for up to 4 months. So that is the big number for up to 4 months. Some additional information on unemployment. They have extended the benefit period by 13 weeks. They have a waiver of the one-week waiting period. And again, it's now eligible for self-employed people for up to 39 weeks. So very important information that would apply. I expect that what they would require of self-employed people to show their earnings, it could be, and again, I have not been able to get into the depths of the website and what they're asking for, but what I would expect is they may ask for either net earnings or your gross receipts from self-employment that you might have received in a prior year. You may have to provide bank information, tax information, or at least that they can reference to it. So I would expect the government would have that information available to them from prior tax returns. So without having gone into that website myself, I can't give you all the specifics, but it's certainly something that you may need to explore. The reason I thought it was important to talk about that is because that is now available, readily available. You want to get signed up for that. That could help you in the short term. One of the things we had alluded to, I think, last week and what you've heard in the media quite a bit about are some of these small business loans that have been available. It was called the Paycheck Protection Program or the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. Those programs were quite attractive to small business owners because it was giving you the ability to borrow, but at the same time qualify for either some special tax forgiveness or low interest rates, maybe some grant money. So it made it quite attractive because you may not have to pay back some of this money that you were using for your small business. And what we saw were maybe what most of us might deem not to be really small businesses applying for some of this money to the tune of lots and lots of money that is already like gone. So we are hoping that Congress will come back and put more money into these programs to help further support business owners who are having a hard time. And we think that is going to go through. In fact, I think they're hoping to vote on it this week, and we will see if that goes through. And if so, I believe the House was trying to make sure that it would be available for particular small business owners, and I will talk more about that as we come back from our next break. If you have questions, you can certainly send them through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. That's yourfinancialchoices.com. Next week, I am going to talk about reevaluating your financial plan. One thing I don't want us to forget about is taking care of our own financial future while we're sitting as observers of this pandemic. We can't forget to reflect back on where we are and what are we doing and how things might change going forward. So if you have questions on that, you can send them through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and we'll cover that next week. Remember, it is our pledge drive. If you would like to help support our station, you are welcome to go to wdiy.org and click donate now or call 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care.
To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. It is our pledge drive. And this station cannot go on without listeners like you supporting us in all that we do, bringing you news and information and programs that are tailored just to you. We do that through limited staff and lots of volunteers, but with the support of donors. So please go to wdiy.org and click the button Donate Now or call 610-758-8810. So welcome back to the show. We are talking about CARES Act this evening and how it applies to all of us, but also to sole proprietors in particular. We mentioned about applying for unemployment. There's a special website for that. Just Google Pandemic Unemployment Assistance or PUA Pennsylvania, and it'll take you to pua.benefits.us.pa.gov, and you can go through the prompts there to see if you might qualify, if you have a covered reason for qualifying. The Paycheck Protection Program, which was a loan program that was made available to sole proprietors and small businesses, and it had limited funding, which has already been tapped out. So that was through the Small Business Administration, and the funds have all been expended. So you might think, oh no, what now? Well, go to the Pennsylvania Unemployment website, see if you can get some money to help you out there. But in particular, there was a lot of attractiveness to these programs, the Paycheck Protection Program and the Economic Injury Disaster Loans, because the money had the potential to be forgiven. And again, you had to follow certain criteria in order for it to be forgiven. But that's what made everyone kind of run to them. So if you go to the SBA's website, which is the Small Business Administration website, sba.gov, you'll see links there for coronavirus or COVID-19 guidance for small businesses. And on that website, they mention they are no longer accepting applications for these programs. They're also no longer approving banks to be loan providers. And they have on there that there is a lapse in appropriations notice. The SBA is unable to accept new applications at this time for the Paycheck Protection Program or the Economic Injury Disaster Loan COVID-19 related assistance program based on available appropriations funding. EIDL applicants who have already submitted their applications will continue to be processed on a first-come, first-served basis. Now, according to a Forbes article on April 16th by Robin Sachs-Frankel, from April 3rd, when the Paycheck Protection Program was launched, through April 16th, that's 13 days, folks, more than 1.6 million loans were approved by almost 5,000 participating lenders. 1.6 million loans. Can you imagine? We know why the system was overwhelmed and the banks were overwhelmed. The SBA has processed more than 14 years worth of loans in less than 14 days, said U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and SBA Administrator Jovita Carranza in a joint statement on Wednesday. And as of this recording that you're listening to now, more funding is on its way. In an interview with Anderson Cooper of CNN, Nancy Pelosi said, quote, "The House has been working on language and guidance to make funding available to underbanked communities, women and minority-owned businesses, Native Americans, rural America, veterans, and small businesses." So they're expecting $120 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program and another $100 billion to help hospitals and testing. And they're hoping to get that through this week. So the numbers could change. So this was from, I think, today or yesterday. So this could change. And hopefully, by the time the show is aired, something will have passed and it will open back up. So the Pension Protection Program, again, for small businesses and sole proprietors. The loans are limited. Now, in particular, for sole proprietors, it was going to be not in excess of $100,000 annualized divided by 12 times 2.5 of net earnings. So if the net earnings are $48,000 and you divide that by 12 times it times 2.5, you're only talking about a $10,000 loan. So these aren't necessarily really large amounts, but depending on what your business is and how your business runs, it could be more than that. So it's based on, in essence, your net earnings. The interest rate's only 1% with a maturity of 2 years. So the big attraction on these loans, though, was the ability to have forgiveness. Now, for businesses to qualify for the forgiveness, though, and here's the incentive to help get businesses back employing their staff, is that the forgiveness is based on you using the proceeds of the loan towards at least 75% of payroll. All right? So if the money is used for 75% payroll at a minimum, and 25% for certain expenses like mortgage payments, rental payments, that type of thing, that could get forgiven. So that is a huge incentive. That's why everyone ran after these loans. 1.6 million loans were processed, and that is why. People want what would be that free money. Now, what they have to recognize is it's not free money to them personally. They have to use it for payroll, for small businesses. What about self-employed people? If you're self-employed, you might not have any employees. Well, who are you paying? You're paying yourself. So the concept was you get the loan, and within 8 weeks, you have to pay it out to yourself, basically. So that is what would be required, and I never saw any further guidelines on that as well. So assuming sole proprietors recognize it as payroll, I would also expect that then they would report it as income as well. So money coming in, and while the loan's forgiven, you're still reporting it as income, and you are paying self-employment tax on it because you're paying yourself, just like a small business would pay it out to their employees. Their employees are paying income tax on, you know, their payroll. So a self-employed person would do the same. All right? So it's a little complicated, but if you are someone who needs this to keep your business afloat, to keep your business going through this interim period while we're waiting for treatments and testing and a potential vaccine, which might not be until next year, what we're hoping that this is going to bridge us to is to a period of treatment that maybe in the next month or two they're going to find that medicine that will treat people so that we're not dying from the virus. We are getting treated for it and giving us a chance to recover on our own. So all of this is really a bridging mechanism to our economy to get us through the next few months. So more information would be available on the Small Business Administration website. Again, that is SBA.gov, and while they are not accepting new applications, they will, I expect, open that back up as soon as additional funding is approved, and hopefully that will come this week. Other benefits through the CARES Act would also be a deferral of payroll taxes. What is a little bit complicated is there are a number of programs, and you just have to make sure that you're coordinating how they work with each other. So if you are someone who's getting unemployment and you want that paycheck protection program, then you're paying yourself. So if you're paying yourself, you're not going to qualify for unemployment. So you're not going to get, to double dip on the benefits. So keep that in mind. But what you could do is, if the program opens back up and you apply for a Paycheck Protection Program loan, you could pay yourself for the 8 weeks, and if we are still under quarantine or you're still not running your business or can't run your business for some reason, you could apply for unemployment then. So you cannot apply for unemployment when you're no longer getting paid through any type of loan you might have taken under the Paycheck Protection Program. All right? And then with the payroll deferral, there is a payroll tax deferral where you can defer 50% of your payroll taxes until December 31st of 2021 and 50% to December 31st of 2022. And that applies to self-employed people as well. So you might have a lawyer who makes, you know, $300,000 a year, and I'm just going to make up a number because I know it's not as high as this, but let's say they have $30,000 of self-employment tax that they would have to pay. Under the CARES Act, the Payroll Tax Deferral Program, they would not have to pay in that $30,000 of tax this year. They could pay in my example of $30,000, they would pay in $15,000 next December 2021 and the remaining $15,000 in December of 2022. I have not seen further guidance on this of how that is administered, but I would expect what is happening is as each program kind of ramps up, we get all the information then, and because the payroll tax deferral is kind of so far into the future, they haven't given us all the specifics on that as to how someone calculates that and keeps track of it to pay later. There are a number of other benefits that I want to continue to highlight tonight to help people get through this. If you're not eligible maybe for the unemployment, but you're just a little shy on some cash flow, or if you had some payment coming up and you just kind of need a short-term, what you might think would be a loan, what other options might be available to you? Well, the CARES Act gives us some options, so I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about that in our next segment. So if you have questions, you can send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com, yourfinancialchoices.com, and I'll do my best to answer those questions, and we will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio is committed to our listeners' health and safety during the COVID-19 outbreak. Help us stop coronavirus. Lehigh Valley residents can do the five. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. Stay home unless absolutely necessary. Cover your face if you have to go out. Stay 6 feet apart of social distance. Feel sick? Contact medical professionals for next steps. For coronavirus updates and information, go to WDIY.org.
Hi, welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are doing a part two on the CARES Act and touched on this evening a little bit about some of the stimulus payments, a little bit about some of the programs available to self-employed folks, and hoping that we can help, give them some information to get a little bit of financial support where available through either unemployment through Pennsylvania or through the Paycheck Protection Program, which hopefully additional funding is coming through and hopefully geared more to some of those smaller businesses that maybe couldn't compete with those bigger businesses when the funding was originally opened up. So we'll see how that goes and monitor that as more information is available. So a few more things I thought that I should mention tonight that are available for people could be taking out a 401k loan. I normally don't recommend this, but in times like this, there may be situations where someone might feel like they're in a little bit of a pinch and would need just a little extra support. And so from a 401k and a 403b, traditionally, folks could take a loan up to $50,000 but only to the extent that it was on their vested benefit, 50% of their vested benefit. So if you had $100,000 in a 401k and you were 100% vested, then you could take out $50,000, and that was the max. If your 401k was only $40,000 and you were 100% vested, the max you would be able to take would be 50% of that, which would be 20. So they have raised the vested balance that could be used to now 100%. So you can take 100% of the vested balance, and the loans through December 31st, 2020 may be delayed for up to a year. The reason I've always cautioned people about taking loans on their 401k, number one, there's generally a cost to taking out that loan. There's a loan fee, and there's interest that would apply. So you'd have to incur interest. Now, granted, you are paying yourself back. But if you were to leave the employment, then it's considered a distribution, and it would be 100% taxable. So you want to be careful if you're going to try to go this route. But it is available for those people who need it, and you don't have to repay the loan through December 31st of 2020. They're allowing it to be delayed 1 year, so that could be good news for some people. Just watch out for taking out too much, because you might have to pay it back. Another option for people is a withdrawal from a retirement account. So if you're over age 59 and a half, that's not a problem for you to take a withdrawal. There's no penalties. You can take a distribution, and it is still income taxable. You can't forego the income tax on a withdrawal from a retirement account unless it's a Roth. But you could take money out with no penalty and still pay the tax. But what about for people who are under age 59 and a half? There is a 10% early withdrawal penalty. So what the CARES Act allows is early withdrawal with foregoing the 10% penalty. So the 10% early withdrawal from the retirement penalty, from the retirement account penalty, is waived if it's coronavirus-related distribution and it's up to $100,000. It is not subject to mandatory withholding, which is the case for qualified accounts like a 401k or a 403b. Normally, there is a mandatory withholding of 20%, so that is waived. And it's a withdrawal, so you would pay the income tax on it, but you avoid the 10% penalty. Again, it has to be coronavirus-related distribution. I'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the wonderful thing. It can be recontributed back to the account, and you can do it over 3 years. And the income can be reported over 3 years. So let's say you take out, I'm going to make the number easy. Let's say you take out $30,000 from your IRA account. You could report that as $10,000 a year for 3 years. So I take $30,000 out today. I don't have the 10% penalty. I have the income tax on it, not subject to mandatory withholding. So you could pay back the tax when you file your tax return next year. But you can report the income over 3 years, so that would minimize the tax consequence. But let's say you got through this, we all got through this, and we all will get through this. So once we get through this pandemic and the effect on the economy and our jobs, you get back to work and you realize you can make up that $30,000 fairly quickly, and you don't really need that money anymore. You got back to work sooner than you thought. You could put the money back. And the IRS is giving us time to put that money back. We could actually take 3 years to put the money back. Then we would have to amend our tax return. So if we took $30,000 out, and remember I said you could report it over 3 years, you can report it over 3 years. You don't have to report it over 3 years. So let's say in 2020 your income is down so much because you weren't working, that's why you needed the money. This might be the year you would want to report it because maybe you're going to be in a low tax bracket. So you could report the whole $30,000 this year if you want. And if you pay it back $10,000 a year, when you pay it back, you can go back and amend the tax return to get that income off your return, and then you would get a refund on those taxes that you paid up front. All right, so early withdrawal. Now, I mentioned it has to be a coronavirus-related distribution. What is that? You have to be diagnosed or a spouse or a dependent. But here is the broad language that would qualify to so many of us, that you experience adverse financial consequences as a result of being quarantined, furloughed, laid off, reduced hours because of the disease, unable to work because of children, lack of child care, own a business that's closed. So there's such broad language that would qualify to so many people that if you really are in a pinch, this is an opportunity for you. I haven't had too many people ask about this, and maybe it's because, you know, we're still too early into this quarantine period, and perhaps we'll be out of this within a month, and not too many people will have to tap this, but it is also available. For people who maybe don't need money and your required minimum distribution age, they have waived the required minimum distribution requirement for 2020. This is important because there could be people who would be required to take money out of their retirement accounts right when the markets are dropping. So we've already seen a bit of a recovery in the markets from where they were earlier in March. So you never know which day it's going to be, that if you take your required minimum distribution out, is it a bad day? Is it a better day? They've waived it for 2020, so you do not have to take out your required minimum distribution. Some people already may have taken it, and the IRS was going to allow them to put it back with using this what's called the 60-day rule, 60-day rollover rule, so you could put it back. But now they've said that they're going to let you do it, I think, through July 15th, so from January 1. So people who might have taken it even in January, February, you're beyond the 60 days. They're giving you an opportunity to use the what would be deemed the 60-day rollover rule, I think, through July 15th. Now, this does not apply to people who have inherited IRAs. If you have a required minimum distribution and you haven't inherited the account, you can waive your required minimum distribution if you didn't already take it. You can delay it, not take it for 2020. But if you already took it, they're not letting you put it back. So that is because the 60-day rollover rule does not apply to beneficiary IRAs. That's why you can't take advantage of that. But if you did not take it yet from a beneficiary IRA, you too can at least waive the required minimum distribution requirement for 2020. So lots of different benefits available. We touched on the student loan deferral earlier. Get more information on that. If you have not been contacted by your loan provider, reach out to them, see what your options are. If you can afford to continue to pay on your loan through the period of deferment, that's great, and no interest accrues through September 30th. So lots of great advantages there. People who were required minimum distribution age 70 and a half, if you want to continue to give to charity, you still can use your IRA, even if you have decided not to take the required minimum distribution. You still could make a distribution to charity from your IRA. That doesn't preclude you if you decide to waive your RMD for the year of 2020. It doesn't preclude you from continuing to make qualified charitable distributions from your IRA. So a quick example, if your RMD, required minimum distribution, is $20,000 and you normally like to give $5,000 to WDIY, you could certainly do that just by contacting the custodian of your IRA, tell them you want to make a qualified charitable distribution directly from your IRA to your favorite nonprofit, and they will direct the check directly to that nonprofit, and it still qualifies for tax-free treatment. So again, if the example was 20,000 RMD, I'm not going to take it, but I still want to do 5,000 to my favorite nonprofit, you certainly can still do that. So be aware of that. Lots of other information in the CARES Act we don't want to overlook. Things like over-the-counter medical expenses can be covered through your health, like savings plans or your flexible spending accounts. You can use some of those monies for over-the-counter medical, which years ago they allowed it to some extent, then they took it away completely, and now for 2020, you can use it additionally for other over-the-counter expenses, including menstrual care. 90-day prescription supply is available. Medicare Part D patients must be given the ability to have, upon request, a 90-day supply of medication. That could be very important to a lot of people. If you have people who you're relying on to try to help you and may not be able to get to the store right when you need your medicine, a 90-day supply could give you a lot of comfort. So be aware of that. Folks, lots of information, lots of new situations that we have to kind of come to terms with. Again, we thank the caregivers who are out there and the people who are providing food and taking care of our garbage and taking care of all of those things that so many of us don't have to because we're safe in our homes. So we really want to thank all those healthcare providers and people who are on the front lines and running essential businesses, et cetera. Next week, we are going to talk about reevaluating your financial plan. I want to remind people about our pledge drive. You can donate now through WDIY.org, WDIY.org, by donating now or calling 610-758-8810. We really appreciate your support and need it now more than anything. We value what we do here, and we value our listeners, and we hope you value us as well. Coming up next, we have folk music. Remember, pay attention. Be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Be safe and have a great week.